Recording has started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. And welcome to the sub-team for Sunrise registration on the 12th of May, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. Christine, Doreen, I already have you noted on audio only. If there's anyone else, please let us know at this time. Hearing no further names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our chair, Lori Shulman. Please begin.
Hello, everybody. I think this is meeting five for us, and we have, I think, gotten through a lot of good work and progress. We've bunched names. We've had general comments and discussion about clarifications. We have identified data that we might need to move forward. And we're at the point now where we are looking at should we do any further review of the questions? And how does our suggested changes marry up, how do our suggested changes marry up to the overall work plan for the work group in general? So you'll see we have a new chart. ICANN staff very graciously consolidated the charts that we've been working on into more readable forms. And I've asked Amr if he wouldn't mind go through the chart with us once again so we can understand what the color coding is. We can understand where we still may need information or what still needs needs clarification. So, Amr, if you wouldn't mind, just for a few minutes, sharing with us the state of the chart.
Thanks, Lori. This is Amr. So the purpose of this chart was to have a presentable table to the broader working group on the outcome or deliverables of the Sunrise registration sub-team. So what you see in the far left column are the original questions that the sub-team started working with, and the column in the middle marked proposed final updates, refinements made by the sub-team. Those are where the sub-team landed in at the end, and there were a couple of iterations in between those. The column between those, the sub-team recommendations, highlights what the sub-team did with the original chart of questions and sort of how they ended up in their final form. There is some color coding, and this was a request that I believe Maxim had made earlier, and the color coding is just indicates which questions were batched together. With the exception of maybe questions 2, 3, 8, and 15, those, apart from being batched, they're also consolidated into a single question, which is question number 2 in the proposed final updates column. So the far left column, both the original form of the questions as well as the original numbering is what you see there, and the numbering's obviously changed in the middle column. So like I said, the purpose here is really to be able to present to the broader working group what deliverables this sub-team has provided. There's an empty column on comments/discussion towards the right side, and I will note that Susan has made some contributions to this column, and this is something that I guess we can discuss those, but specifically on question 13. And possibly answering that question with question 22 further down. But eventually, the staff's suggestion on this column was once all the comments and discussions were taken into consideration, and we do actually have a final update for all the charter questions, to sort of fill this column with the rationale on the actions taken, and just again to assist the sub-team in presenting all of this to the broader working group. And of course, the column on the far right is the sub-team's suggestions on data collection. Mary did fill in a few of those, and we could fill in more of those as more suggestions come in. But I hope that that sort of explains why this table looks the way it does, and what the idea is in terms of what we want to do with it. And I'd be happy to answer any questions on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Amar. I will jump in and say I like the color coding. It does, to me, make it easy to see the bunched questions and then emerge in a blocked color in the middle. That, I think, is super easy for people. So I appreciate that innovation in terms of the chart. I don't see any hands, so I'm going to share some thoughts. As to comments and discussions per some offline email that we had earlier today, Amar's thoughts, and I tend to agree that the comments discussion, we think we would be well served to have that populated with the contextual information that we've already gathered so that people have a good frame of reference when they're looking at the entire chart. But that being said, you know, the fact that Susan made the effort to insert a comment now, I think today we should certainly look at that comment and make an agreement as to whether or not we would like to see that comment, you know, see the comment remain, which I'm fairly reasonably certain we probably will. And I also, as I said, sub-team suggestions on data collection. Rather than going through and reinventing the wheel, I really would like staff to take our prior set of notes and where we've identified where we need data to please insert it. I think that would go a long way to completing the chart. Anybody have any comments after that? No. Okay. So then Amar had asked another question, and that is, we've gone through all the charter questions related directly to Sunrise, which I believe were 1 through 9. Then there were some supplemental questions, questions 10 through 15 that I believe we got through, or did we get through all of them, Amar? Did we get through 16 as well? I don't remember.
Lori, this is Amar.
Yeah. And I apologize for not remembering. I just don't remember.
No, that's okay. I've gone through several versions, previous versions of the table, and it does get a little confusing. So maybe we should be able to, it's helpful to have these questions, and that way it gives us an indication of where we can provide further clarification in this table. I believe the subteam did begin discussion on question 16. But I don't think, I'm not sure if it came up with any concrete suggestions. I don't believe it did. But there were previous comments on this question in earlier tables. And before a final version where we would provide the rationale, as you indicated in the column next to last on the right side, Perhaps what staff could do is sort of fill in previous columns there, just because there's obviously some context missing that would be helpful to the subteam's discussion now. So apologies for not getting that done already, but it might be helpful in moving forward. So I'll take that as an action item. Before I hand over the mic, I also wanted to point out that question 22 at the bottom is the question that was originally designated to be answered by the claims subteam, but this subteam agreed that it's more fitting to do so here on the Sunrise subteam, and so that's why we added it at the bottom. Thanks.
Okay, so thank you. So I have a follow-up question that for 22 that. So is the claims team aware that the Sunrise team has agreed to tackle 22 in terms of suggestions and timing? So is that part clear?
Oh, this is Amar again, Lori. Staff had pointed that out to the claims team, and as I believe it was noted on this subteam, that when the claims subteam was going through its charter questions, it had also taken notice of this question and realized that it's likely not a question for that subteam, and they were considering asking the broader working group to consider this. But since Christine is on this call, Maybe it would be a good idea to sort of coordinate between the two sub-teams and go ahead and make a decision that the Sunrise Registration sub-team will take on this question. Thank you.
Thank you, Amar. Christine, does that make sense to you if you're still on the bridge?
Yeah, it does. I think we just felt that the question was far more related to the Sunrise specifically than the claims as a subset of Sunrise, basically. But I'm happy to entertain any other alternative viewpoints.
No, I mean, I mean, specifically referencing the Sunrise period, so I think there's, you know, logic in that assumption, but I think I'd renumbered the question. Is that part of this exercise? I keep relying on staff today, but I want to make sure. So if this is an appropriately grouped Sunrise question, should it be renumbered? And do we think about bunching it with anything else? That would be my two follow-up questions. Should it become like a 9A or a 9.1 or a 10? Or does it matter?
Lori, this is Amar again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All the final versions of the questions have been renumbered. So currently there are a total of 12 questions that the Sunrise Registration sub-team should be looking at or will be delivering to the broader working group. So question 22 at the bottom, at the far bottom, is now question 12 in terms of what the Sunrise Registration sub-team is looking at. And I do note that in Susan's comment that she added on the Google Doc, she did suggest sort of answering this question along with question 13, which is question 13 in the left hand, in the far left hand column, which is now question 11 in the updated questions, and you would find that on page four, I believe.
Okay, I do see that. Okay. I don't think it matters. I just want to make sure that if the intention is to group things by subject matter, that this is in the right grouping. That's all. Whether you number it 10 or 50, I don't think that it's terribly important. And I do recall we discussed this in last week's call. There was agreement that this did make sense. Talking about the balance of interest between the registry and the brand owners. Do we need to look at this comment again?
And Lori, this is Amar. I just wanted to note that Susan does have her hand up in the connecting, so maybe she'd like to elaborate on this a little as well.
Oh, Susan, yes, please. You know what? My screen expanded and the queue disappeared. So I'm not sure what I did, and my apologies because I can't see the queue at the moment. Now I'm back. Now I know what I did. So, yes, Susan, please go ahead.
Hi. Yes, thanks. I'm trying to swap between two different screens as well. So apologies if I go quiet unexpectedly. All I was trying to say in relation to the two questions was that if you look at what was formerly 13 and is now 11, it's about sort of limiting scope to the context of the goods and services. And then if you go to 22, it again is talking about dictionary terms and sort of the like. Although obviously it's had it's been sort of redrafted, and it just seemed to me it also now appears to be number 12. So, I mean, it just appeared to me that 11 and 12 sit naturally together. And I just was trying to point out that in relation to 11, I think that that when we were looking at this whole topic in relation to the trademark clearinghouse questions, we ended up in the Trademark Clearinghouse revised charter questions. We ended up with the language that I put in the comment section, which was, should the scope of the RPMs associated with the TMCH be limited to apply only to TLDs that are related to the category of goods and services in which the dictionary terms within the trademark are protected? And we spent forever talking about this language and how it should be revised. And so it just seemed to me that having had that conversation extensively, you know, perhaps we could save ourselves some time and use the same language. But, I mean, you know, particularly given that we're not proposing to delete, we're just proposing to, you know, to propose alternative, if you like.
Thank you, Susan. I think that does make sense because I also think it brings the issue into focus. Yeah, I'm sorry. Christine?
No, I'm sorry. I'm just on the chat. I just want to get in the queue.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. No, I just wanted to kind of plus one, Susan, and say that I do think that we should, wherever possible, include the work of our previous working team. So we would definitely do not want to reduplicate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. I think that's a valid point, and I would plus one it as well. I think the whole idea is that we're trying to streamline things and get them moving in a good direction, so I think it's a very good suggestion. Mary has put into chat that Susan, wasn't question 11 put on the TMCH list? So the question is whether question 11 is even needed here, as several subteam members had noted in the past. Mary, if Q11 is on the TMCH list, then I would agree that it's not needed here. I mean, that's the whole idea, is to get rid of the redundancies. I see Susan's hand is up.
Hi. Yes, I mean, it is on the yes, it is on the TMCH list, which is, yeah, it is. And so I agree, although there is this challenge that there are many, you know, that you can't take, it's difficult to take the TMCH independently from the rights protection mechanisms that flow off it. So, you know, the question is phrased as, should the scope of the RPMs associated with the TMCH? I mean, frankly, I don't mind, because I think we've got 22 anyway, so I don't think we're losing the discussion. I think in all of the discussion when we talk about the sunrise, I think we always need to be aware of whether we have already dealt with it in the extensive debate we've been having in relation to the TMCH. I guess that's what I'd say.
Lori, can I respond?
So then Susan, yes, sure. Go ahead, Christine.
Thanks. This is Christine. I would like to just add that I think that in this case it's a little different. I think that the TMCH question, I think those are considered three completely separate questions. The first one is, should the Trademark Clearinghouse accept or otherwise limit its entries on the basis of goods and services? Then I think there's another question that says, regardless of, let's say the clearinghouse decides, no, it's not going to limit entries. You can put any mark in for anything. Does there need to be any restrictions of the Sunrise registration based on goods and services? And then what we did in the claims group is we just added like an ancillary question that said, if the other groups get to this question where we are limiting things based on goods and services, you know, if that happens, then do we need to do anything different to the claims notice to address that? So I'm not entirely sure that the question is completely answered in the full working group yet, because they're only talking about entry into the clearinghouse right now. They're not talking about what happens. So even if the group decides the mark should get in, I think there may still be another question about what happens at the level, at the point of Sunrise registration. Thanks.
Thank you, Christine. I have a question because I think I'm missing a piece of this puzzle, and I was not part of the TMCH discussion specifically. So if there is a decision to limit entry on goods and services, and then at the point of the Sunrise period, I don't understand how that works. Is that the trademark owner buys the domain in the Sunrise period but then has to make a clarification that it would only be used in relation to the goods and services as identified? What happens if it's not?
Well, Lori,
I don't understand.
I don't know that anyone's necessarily answered that question, which is why it's still under debate. But the point I guess I'm trying to make is that if the Trademark Clearinghouse is limited by goods and services, that might sort of make this question a moot point, right? It maybe won't matter anymore because the trademark holder will only get, you know, might only get registrations for its goods and services, or might only get Sunrise registrations for, you know, related to its goods and services. I'm not sure. But if we decide not to do anything, if we leave the trademark clearinghouse wide open and say you can get in for anything, there's a second question which then brings it down to the Sunrise registration level that says, so even if the mark is allowed in the clearinghouse for any goods and services, is there any further restriction just at the point of registration? So that's the point I guess I was trying to make. Does that clarify?
Yes, it does. It also, I have to be honest, confuses me as a trademark practitioner because I would, you know, then we would be splitting it up into how, you know, what do we register? Do I then only register my website for fruit if I'm selling fruit versus technology support? Or is it a question about enforcing a claim that I could only go after a third-party registrant? You know, like if a claims notice is issued, that the claims notice is limited. Well, the claims notice now, I believe, states goods and services, correct? It would only be relevant if you were trying a question of fact under a UGRP or URF then, correct?
Well, I think under the current system, maybe, but I think there's a proposal out there. I'm not saying I even agree with the proposal. I completely agree that the idea of trying to limit either the clearinghouse or the Sunrise registrations to goods and services is a hot mess. However, I believe there's a proposal out there to do it. So I think to the extent that there's still a proposal out there to do it, there's this sort of open-ended question that says, and if the working group goes that direction, we have to then figure out what to do with Sunrise.
Okay, I get it. I actually get it. Thank you. And I think you're right. I think we have to split out those questions very, very specifically and carefully. Otherwise, it really creates, in my mind, a confusion of concept, the concept of registering versus the concept of enforcing. And those are that's two very different things. So I don't know. I'm going to ask staff a question. Is given the complexity of the issue and the fact that it's been so discussed very heavily, is there a way here to just put an asterisk there and understand that this is something that is related to another discussion? And I don't know necessarily park it because, I mean, we want to get the questions answered, but perhaps there are questions that are so overlapped that a Sunrise group specifically or a claims group specifically aren't going to solve the problem unless they're talking to each other. Does that make sense? Amr, I see your hand.
Thanks, Lori. This is Amr, but I'd be happy to defer to Phil to see what he has to say first, if that's all right with everyone.
Right. I see both our co-chairs had their hands up. So,
let's let them go first.
Yeah, I'll call on Phil and then Kathy.
Okay. Phil, for the record, as I understand these questions, well, the way I'm breaking this down, if we were to go this way, and I'm not sure I'm inclined to go this way because of the difficulty of administering, rights holder has a trademark. Let's say the trademark's in the U.S. and the U.K., just for an example. Now, I'm not a trademark practitioner. I imagine that all nations don't have exactly the same descriptions of goods and services for a trademark, that they may have different terms, and I'll defer to the experts on that. But so the trademark is for certain goods and services, and they might be the same in two jurisdictions, or they might be described differently. Then you would need to determine among all – this restriction obviously wouldn't apply to general purpose TLDs, like, you know, it's not a new one, but COM is a general purpose, whereas cars and a new one would be a vertical. So you'd have to decide, okay, the restriction doesn't apply to general purpose because anyone can register a domain for any purpose there, but which among the verticals correspond to the goods and services for which the trademark is registered. So you'd need some decision-making body, or I guess the clearinghouse would be charged with somehow figuring out which verticals relate to which goods and services, and then the trademark owner would only have the right to Sunrise registrations in the general purpose TLDs and the verticals that correspond to the goods and services. And I presume that the claims notice would only be generated to registrations that are begun in either general purpose or corresponding vertical. So I want to see if we're all on the same page as how this would operate if we went this way. And then, you know, there would have to be some, I guess the clearinghouse would be charged with determining which verticals, you know, correspond to the goods and services. Now, you know, a registrant might register in a non-corresponding vertical, and then the actual content of the website could be infringing on the mark, depending on how it's used, so it wouldn't be... you'd have a situation where the registrant hadn't gotten a claims notice but did go on to infringe, whether intentionally or unintentionally. So I'll stop there rather than repeat myself, but are we all kind of on the same page for how this would work and what would need to be required in terms of the administration, the decision-making part of this, which would be to match particular verticals to corresponding goods and services for a particular mark? And I'll stop there. Thanks. And I hope that's clarified rather than confused. Thanks.
Thank you, Phil. I'm just going to, before I call on Kathy, I'm just going to make a note about something that Phil said in terms of my experience as a trademark practitioner. Phil is correct. How things are described can vary jurisdiction. Classifications are generally very broad. And while classifications are governed by international treaty, specifically the Paris Convention, even within classifications, there may be some countries that put some goods and services in different classes than others. Although the idea is to make the system as uniform as possible, in reality, it's not. But there's also a theory under the law that trademark protections in classes also can cross into complementary classes of goods and services. And I'll end my remark there and recognize Kathy, then Christine.
Hi, Lori. Can you hear me? It's Kathy.
Yes, we can hear you, Kathy.
Great. Apologies for joining late, everyone. And Lori, thank you. Thank you for sharing. So trying to catch up on this, I think Christine got the question right. And so I agreed with what she said, that this is a question that's coming back again. So what we're talking about with both the Trademark Clearinghouse and now with Sunrise is an important question, and trademark claims has been asked in all three categories. Susan's phrasing, I thought, was good, you know, to the extent we can use prior phrasing that we did spend innumerable hours working on. Great. Phil, I didn't quite follow. I think there might be many ways to implement. So I'm going to disagree respectfully that I think there may be many ways to implement a kind of should the working group come to the conclusion that Sunrise or trademark claims or other kinds of protections or preemptive rights should be used by the trademark owner in the category of goods and services with which they have protection. I'm not sure the enforcement would necessarily be, or the matching would necessarily have to be at the trademark claims level. I'm not sure that would have to be Deloitte or IBM. It could be something we put the trademark owner on notice of, that, you know, if you're Smith Farms and you're selling hams all over the United States and now China, you know, maybe you shouldn't knock, you know, Smith off of a future .named. I know .named is, of course, an existing, a legacy TLD. But, you know, if we're talking about kind of a future TLD for last names, then maybe you shouldn't use it in Smith or McDonald's or, you know, areas that are kind of reserved for people's family names. Similarly, Delta. If you have it for airlines and somebody's got a fraternity, a future dot fraternity, you know, maybe you shouldn't use it there. But there could be many, many mechanisms of enforcement. And I'm not sure we're asking, and I'm pretty sure we're not asking Deloitte to be kind of a trademark office that's looking at those categories of goods and services. It could be a requirement we put into the rules and then create enforcement mechanisms afterwards. So I wanted to share that, but I'm glad, you know, we're dealing with this question. I agree with what Christine said, that this is a question that we've been asked to deal with at the trademark clearinghouse database level and also at the implementation of the Sunrise and the trademark claims level. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Christine?
Hi, I'm in the chat. No, this is Christine. I wanted to say I agree, and I'm noting Phil's comment. To be clear, I was not proposing a particular implementation approach, and that's what I wanted to react to, I guess. I mean, while I disagree with the implementation approach suggested by Phil or you know, straw proposed by Phil, I think that I agree, generally speaking, that he did a fairly good job of capturing the complexities that would be involved in coming up with that sort of an implementation. And I think that, and I wanted to just echo Mary's suggestion. So I think that Susan has put the language in that we all agreed to, into the, or somebody put it in there, but Susan suggested it on the chart. I think that the question comprises the concerns that everyone has about dictionary terms and about goods and services. And I think that we say, hey, to the extent that the working group gets to it, you know, before the Sunrise Claims Group gets to it, great. I mean, if somebody proposes something wonderful and everybody's on board, fine. But if not, I do think this should be, I know, I think we're using the word parked, but I do think it should sit and be available in case a decision gets made in the broader working group with this, with respect to the Trademark Clearinghouse, so that we don't lose this as a question for Sunrise registrations. We do need to know about the impact of Trademark Clearinghouse restrictions on Sunrise registrations. So my proposal is that we do take the new question and merge it in as something that we need to circle back to when we get to this point.
Thank you, Christine. To other people, if you guys are in the chat, do you agree with Christine's approach incorporating this question that we already agreed upon and including the language that was agreed in further discussions as well, and then deferring it to some point where the entire group, not just the subteam, decides whether or not it's going to take it up. Is that what I understand the proposal to be? If you agree with that approach, could you mark with a little green disc so we know? And I agree. 3, 4, 4 agree out of 8. So what does that mean when we have half? 5. Okay, 5 agree out of 8. So we have what? Is this a rough consensus or majority under ICANN? Phil, the question was this, in terms of taking to the approach with this particular question, that we would incorporate Susan's new wording because it's clear and makes sense, and actually it's agreed upon wording from prior discussions, and couple it with what we have now, and then basically park it. Does that make sense? Phil agrees too. Well, parking is deferring. If you don't want to use the word parking, what I would say, use Mary's suggested word, deferring, and deferring it to a greater group discussion as to whether this is a question we want to tackle rather than keep it inside the Sunrise group. Kathy, does that clarify your question? Kathy, meaning it becomes part of our work group questions for this area. I think we put it in as a work group question, but one that needs to be considered by the broad, it's beyond us. I think there's too many other components to it to call it typically a Sunrise question. Phil, I see you have your hand up, and Kathy, then I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, my hand's up, Phil, for the record. and thanks, Christine, for the clarification, reminding me that the claims notice part of this is with the claims subgroup, but I think we need to note that at some point, if we're going to go down this road, we need to coordinate the treatment under both Sunrise registrations and claims. They need to be coordinated in some way if there's going to be some restriction of either of the RPMs to corresponding categories of goods and services. I guess, the one thing I want to say of substantive thing, and I don't want to get too deep in the substance, is that thinking about an example we had came up in one of the prior conversations on this. Let's say there's a company that produces footwear. And they've got a trademark for their company name, which is, I don't know what the goods and services category would be in a given nation, but it's for shoes, boots, footwear, whatever. So, how would this work? Would they be restricted to Sunrise registrations in clothing categories or footwear categories as well as general TLDs? And what if they wanted to register their mark at Dot Horse because a particular boot they made had a big following in the equestrian community? What if they made driving shoes and wanted to register their mark at Dot Cars? Would that be permitted? Would they be able to do that? Would they have to ask permission? So I'm just, we need to think about all the administrative aspects of this if we go down this road. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. And I think it's noted these are all good questions and they're complicated, which is why we believe this is sort of greater than we. Kathy, please go ahead.
Okay. Kathy Kleiman, and I don't see it as complicated as Phil does. I think there are ways to ask the trademark owner to go into categories, to use the Sunrise only for top level domains that, to use that preemptive right, only for top level domains that make sense to the trademark owner. And then that can be challenged. So if the trademark owner does, make racing shoes, and there's a dot race or a dot cars, that would make sense to me. So it has to be, but now we're seeing, but that we could prevent some of the gaming that's going on. So the word the, and the idea that you could the, and I don't know what the categories of goods and services of the registration is, but assuming it's narrow, and I think it was when I took a look at it a while ago, the idea that you wouldn't get to register the in every GTLD, because not every GTLD would apply to the categories of goods and services, even arguably. So I think we can prevent the gaming while not throwing ourselves into an impossible situation. I don't know if that makes sense. But the word parking confuses me. Parking, tabling, it seems to be taking something off the table, kind of putting it in a different category. I based on this discussion, I think this is very much a question to go in front of the working group, and I thought that was our job, was not answering the questions, but deciding the phrasing, the clarifying, the grouping to go in front of the full working group. And I don't see any tabling or parking. I can certainly see references, footnotes, reminding the group that we've already dealt with some of these issues, but that this is a new instantiation of the issues. But I think this is very much one to go, front and center in front of the working group. This is a key issue, and just our discussion shows the complexity of it. This seems like a perfect one to go in front of the working group. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. I think it's a question of prioritization, the way I understand this, that right now we're looking at specifically restricted questions to Sunrise, ascertaining which are redundant, which could be combined, which could be looked at perhaps at a different light, or if we have any clarifications we want to ask. This classification issue, to me, supersedes that. And so my own thought is I don't care what word is used, but I think there's probably a pot of questions that go to a greater set of issues than what we're looking at specifically at Sunrise, and this is one of them. So, as again, I don't think that I want to I have, as I said, I don't have a personal preference for saying deferred, parked, held over for a bigger group discussion, but I don't think it's something that the Sunrise Group itself at this point can do more than we've done. Christine.
Okay, I have a proposed way forward. Let's just not even use the word parked or deferred. The fact of the matter is, in the main trademark clearinghouse discussion right now, let's say the proposal to get rid of Sunrise completely goes forward. And we throw the baby out, we say we're not doing Sunrise registrations at all, okay? All of these questions become moot, and I don't think we're going to start discussing them. So I don't even think we need a parking lot to say if X, then Y. So I'm retracting my suggestion that we park it, and I'm going to say we'll just include the question as written and for the claims as Susan proposed. And in the event that the question is asked and answered by the time we get there, or it's obviated by the fact that we've gone a completely different direction, then we'll know that when we see it. Is that acceptable?
Works for me. I'm going to recognize Phil. Go ahead, Phil.
Okay, I'll be brief, and by the, I agree, you know, obviously if the main group decides that Sunrise should go, all of this stuff becomes moot. All I'm trying to get at with raising the questions I'm at is to, however we wind up phrasing the question, when we bring it back to the main group, they're going to ask us probably two things. What does this actually mean? What does restricting the registrations mean in terms of, you know, how would that work? How would the restriction work? And what's the rationale? Is the rationale because of a policy concern that allowing registration in verticals that don't match the goods and services is an undesirable expansion of trademark law, or is it targeting specific abuses? And if so, is that the best way to target the particular abuse? So I'll stop there. I'm just saying that when we bring the questions back, we're probably going to get some questions about what they mean. That's it. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Phil. I'm going to editorialize here, and I think that's exactly the point. I mean, what they mean needs to be sourced out by the entire group. To your points about the complexities of classification and identification and how these are recognized by treaty and how they're treated in separate jurisdictions. So that would be, if there was a decision, you know, well, how would that work? I think the idea is that you would create a model or maybe two or three models. So to Christine's point, yes, not our little puddle of nine people. That's what I think. We can highlight it, and we can say, you know, this is worthy of a discussion, but the discussion would require, you know, more in-depth work and modeling. And I would presume not one model. I would imagine there'd be many models to potentially be discussed based on your concerns. We're in a lake on a diet. Phil, you're funny. Okay. So we have 7 minutes to go. I kind of feel like we're at a natural stopping point at this juncture. We know we have more data to be filled in by the staff. It seems like we've come to some resolution about the disposition of this particular question and comment. I'm going to ask the group, is there anything burning on your minds right now that you'd like to use the last 6 minutes for? I'll ask staff as well if there's anything you think in the next 6 minutes we could advance. Otherwise, I'm going to give people back 6 minutes of their time today. Mary, yes, and then I see Christine's hand. Mary, then Christine.
Hi, I'm going to try speaking again. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes, Mary, thank you.
Excellent, thank you. So just actually to follow up on some of those action items, Lori, we did go back and look at the data collection suggestions from, I think it must be 2 or 3 weeks ago now. One challenge that I'll note here is that because some of the questions that we were discussing then have since been recategorized or reworded, not all of the data suggestions, you know, remain relevant, I'll say. So we're going to put in what we can into the Google document, but our suggestion is that if everyone can take a look at the proposed final refinements in this document, with an eye to whether or not, in view of this current wording, any of them require additional data. And secondly, to follow up on another staff action item from last week, we were asked to look back at the documents from the STI, the IRT, and others to see if we could find rationale, or at least clearly explicit rationale for the Sunrise mechanism. We did not find express statements that directly address this, but there's a couple of other documents, including a rather early paper by WIPO on the Sunrise mechanisms, and I'll send around some of those comments that may be relevant as you think about Sunrise, but did not, you know, directly come out of the foundational documents for the RPMs as direct quotes.
Okay, thank you, Mary. So it sounds like once that data is filled in, we're going to have to go back and review the data needs in light of the combination of the questions. So we can mark that as a, actually, I would love to see that as homework. That's work I think that can easily be done online. Christine, I see your hand. And I also see Christine's typing. So are you typing what you
were
going to
say? Thank you very much. No, I'm here. I was, yeah, I was typing the same thing you were. So, yay, this was Christine. I just wanted to make a comment. You know, it's come up in the claims subteam and it's come up here. You know, we're really doing a good job, I think, of focusing specifically on our mission to talk about Sunrise registrations and talk about claims. And this discussion that we just had about the limitation of goods and services or the registration of dictionary words is really important and all-encompassing. I think that I just wanted to draw the attention to this group and see if there was buy-in on this, but when we're all participating in the large group discussion, I'm not hearing much of it, but to the extent that the working group members say, oh, we'll defer that to talking about, you know, Sunrise, or we'll defer that to talking about claims, to the extent that we can solve, I think somebody used the word modeling, maybe Susan, I think to the extent that you can use, okay, oh, good, Lori. So to the extent that you can create, one of these people are putting forward proposals, to the extent that these proposals model out what it would look like at the clearinghouse, at the Sunrise, and at the claims levels, I think that would be really good. And I think that we should use our voices during those large calls if people start to say, oh, that's a question for the claims when we get to claims. Well, no. If you're going to make a big proposal that turns the clearinghouse on its head, then you should also figure out how that's going to implicate Sunrise and claims. I'm just going to throw that out there as a macro level suggestion to think about, because otherwise we're going to end up making these big sweeping changes to the database, and then when we get to the RPMs, we're just going to have to start over, and all this work we've done to refine the charter questions will be completely irrelevant based on the fact that we now have a completely different mechanism to play with. So that's just a, I guess, I don't even know what that is. Thanks.
Thank you, Christine. I think that's a good suggestion just to, again, focus and clarify the work. And I think modeling at this stage, and then this would go to Phil's point, you know, if we have some creative ideas and we want to share them and, again, you know, force people to focus on thinking about these things in a different way, then the people on the calls definitely have to be ready to step up and say, this is what a model could look like. This is what, you know, I would avoid the shoulds. I would start with coulds. This is what a model could look like at any of these levels. And thank you, Susan. Susan needs to go, and we are 1 minute to the top of the hour. So, staff, what I'd like to do is, you know, mark the follow-up items that we did. I know there's some open items from last week. If we could put the data collection question to the list with the Google Doc link, that could be the homework for people over the next 2 weeks, which I think would be very useful. And I'm just going to ask one last call for any questions or comments, and then I will adjourn the call. Okay, then have a nice day. It's 4:59. See you guys in Barcelona, those who are going.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Maria, the operator, if you could stop all recordings. To everyone else, Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.